B-Pod Studios.
Ahoy.
Hi, Robin.
Ah, jeez. There he is, the man who claims to be the king of North Fort Myers. What's going on there, pal?
Hey, looky here.
Looky here.
I want to answer that question of the week.
Oh, you? All right, well, our question of the week was, and be honest there, Bubba, what is a movie, no matter how many times you see it, you kind of get choked up and the tears run down your face. You cry a little bit.
Yeah, there's really only one.
There's only one that makes you cry.
Yeah.
What's that?
Gone with the Wind.
Gone? And just thinking about it gets you all choked up?
Man, whenever I think about it, I can hear that music in my head.
Now, what is it? I'm sorry that affects you that way. What is it about that movie that makes you cry?
Because the South should have won.
Hey, look.
When I see Tara on fire, that ain't right, man.
And it makes you cry.
Yeah.
All right. That was the war between the states back in the 1800s. That movie came out in like 1939. Sorry, I'm crying along with you.
I even cry at the edited version.
What, when he says, "Frankly, Scarlett, I don't give a damn."
Yeah, did they take old chunks of that movie out now? Yeah,
but it still makes you cry.
Yeah.
When was the first time you saw that movie?
Well,
looky here.
Looky here.
Yeah.
I reckon I must have been about 6 years old.
6 years old. Did you cry back then?
Yep.
Is that because your mama didn't give you your bottle? Didn't bring you to her breast?
No, it's because my grandpappy sat me down
and said the South should have won.
If you never watch another movie in your life, you're going to watch this one from beginning to end.
I mean, seriously.
You understand what's going on.
Seriously. You've got to, in your whole life, you're not a young man. You're a man that's lived life. In your whole life, there isn't a movie like The Champ, Old Yeller.
Old Yeller, that affected me, but it did not provoke tears.
It did not provoke tears. There's got to be some movie out there. What was the last? I'm not talking about a movie theater. What was the last movie you sat down and gave 90 minutes to 2 hours? Put down the smoke. You can't even have a phone conversation as you're wiping away tears because of Gone with the Wind. You still got the wherewithal to light a smoke.
Yeah, ain't I the multi-dancer?
Okay. What was the last movie at home, at your lady friend's house, at somebody else's trailer, that you sat down and devoted 90 minutes to 2 hours to watch, and that you maybe got some emotion from? What was the last movie?
Remember, one old boy got a projector for his cell phone. And so we had a barrel fire, and this old boy set up a screen, and we had plenty of cold beer, and he said, "It's double feature night." And so my answer will be two films that we watch back to back.
Off his phone with a projector.
Yeah, well, he had to plug it in because the battery would have run out, see?
Sure, to watch a whole film. What?
Two whole films.
Okay, and what were they?
And they was real fuzzy on the projector, even though he kept bragging about it being 1080p. I didn't see it.
Yeah, I don't. There's no way you can get a clear picture with that kind of projection stuff like that.
Yeah, so it was a double feature, but he didn't charge nobody nothing for it.
I
watched it.
I hope not.
It was a double feature of a film called Days of Thunder. And Ricky Bobby Talladega Nights.
So Days of Thunder, isn't that the Tom Cruise film?
Yeah, I thought it was totally unrealistic. And Bobby, I love.
Talladega Nights, that was spot on.
That's the NASCAR I know.
And didn't you think, you know, when he was, you know, fighting to get his life back, his kids back.
Shake and bake, baby.
Win that race. That didn't make you cry?
I was just telling you it affected me, but I'm a grown damn man. I can't have people seeing me openly weep.
If you know yourself, it's okay for a man to cry at a movie.
If somebody sees me crying and Gone with the Wind, I got no shame about that.
Right, because the South should have won.
And I think most people know that.
Most people don't know that. Most people don't.
Well, you know, it's your job to get out there and educate them.
Well, you're doing a great job right now yourself. Oh, hey, I wanted to ask you. Before I have to, jeez, jumping.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
True.
It's all right. Get a good, you know, I got a couple of seconds here. Get a good long pull off that thing, and then let me know when you're ready.
You know, that's interesting. You told me you get a good long pull.
Yeah.
Some people would say take a good long drag.
Sure.
And then most people who don't smoke would say, get yourself a good draw.
A good draw.
But you say pull.
I said a pull.
Huh.
You like that?
That Yankee talk?
Yeah, that's Yankee talk. The North, who they won. Now, you, I got to ask a favor of you. Do you have the address to the bar where you do the karaoke at? Because I may want to come by one Friday or Saturday, come see you, because I just moved to North Fort Myers.
You have got to be me.
Hey! I live in North Fort Myers now. Just moved there.
Are you joking me?
I ain't joking, Bubba. I want to come by. You know what? All those years ago when I was too good to shake your hand, guess what?
Yeah.
Guess what? I'm going to come by one weekend, and I'm going to walk right up there maskless and shake your hand.
Well, you'd better damn well be maskless or you'll end up out on your ass.
Right. There's no masks at the bar, huh?
Yeah, we got a mask mandate. Don't wear them.
Okay. All right. And so would I be welcome in the bar and, you know, maybe a couple of complimentary cold beverages for me and my woman?
Well, now looky here.
Looky here. I just want the address. I mean, it's a free country. I could walk in if I wanted to or not. I just wanted to feel welcome. And it's somebody I know doing the karaoke.
Well, looky here.
Looky here.
I would highly suggest that we make arrangements to make sure that I know when you're going to come there so that I can let everybody know you're good people. Please don't walk in there yourself.
What do you mean, don't walk in there myself? I mean, I go over there if I want to go have a beer at the bar. I just got to know where in North Fort Myers it is.
Look, Bubba.
Yeah, what?
You say that you move to NoFo.
Yes, yeah. We probably live pretty close to each other because I know down the road a piece, there's a trailer park down there, and every time I drive by it, I say, I wonder if, you know, old Bubba lives in that trailer park. You know, maybe after a night of singing karaoke and stuff, we finish the night off with a nightcap over at your trailer.
Now, I'm not opposed to that.
Right.
But how long you lived in NoFo now?
I don't know, about 3 weeks.
You planning on staying there?
Yeah, I'm planning on staying there. That's I got a home in North Fort Myers. That's my place.
Well, but looky here.
What? You're not going to set any conditions on me because I happen to live in North Fort Myers. You know,
how long
do I plan to stay? Good people. You know?
I want to make sure that you are introduced properly to the right people so that we can make sure that people understand that you ain't one of them carpetbaggers from the new developments that are coming in and effing up our bar.
I'm in the new development.
Oh, jeez.
They took
you
down.
You probably don't even live in a trailer.
No, I have a single-family home.
Jesus,
they took
Christ.
Down a lot of trees to get that house built.
Yeah, well, it's destroying our quality of life.
That's what I hear. I've read some articles about it that you folks up there in North Fort Myers don't like that very much.
Well, looky here, one old gal, probably a neighbor of yours.
Yeah.
I don't know if she's European or what, but she's real hoity-toity, made the mistake of coming into my bar.
Yeah.
And ordering a apple teeny. And then she looking around and criticizing our decor. And she took umbrage with two particular novelty signs that we have up on the wall that amuses the hell out of us.
Uh-huh. What are they? You have novelty signs.
Well, the first one she complained about is we got a sign up that says, NASCAR fans are race-ists.
That would be offensive.
And then she was complaining about that one until she saw the other one.
What was the other one?
If you are born with a D, then you ain't a chick.
Florida heat, but I'm loving all the people that I get to meet. You got to turn your radio on, now listen to me. We got that powerful stuff that'll knock you off your feet. Stan and Haney, Stan and Haney, Stan and Haney on all afternoon. Now from Naples to Fort Myers, all over Southwest Florida, you know it can't be wrong. From Marco to Fort Charlotte, they all heard the news. They say 2 o'clock, time to light the fuse. Stan and Haney, Stan and Haney, Stan and Haney, all afternoon. The best in local radio that there's ever been. Show is so damn good, it makes the Pope wanna sin. Go fill out to the beaches, people laugh out loud. Got the show that draws flies and a bit of a crowd. Stand and hit it. Was once, then you're gonna listen twice. Got up way too damn early for too damn long. Back in the afternoon, that's where we're.
Hawaii 5-0.
Batman.
Kojak.
Frank Cannon.
Jim Rock.
Rick Stan here.
This is 86 calling control.
I'm Mark Haney.
John Robinson commanding.
Are you finished?
Stan and Haney. 96 J-Rock.
Why do you do that to me?
I'm not doing anything tonight. Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney. I hear you.
You hear what?
That one guy.
Oh, yeah, he's drunk, Stan.
Yeah. Wednesday edition
of
the Stan and Haney show.
He's got a couple of bouncers standing next to him. He's been kicked out, but he doesn't know it yet.
All right. We have to take a break in about 4 minutes or so. I now turn the floor over to my friend, my partner, my compadre, my amigo, my main man, Mark Haney, because he came in today and said, look, I need the floor for a few minutes. I said, absolutely.
Well, you know, my feeling is if I can help one person.
You've always been that way.
I'm obliged to do it.
Yeah.
And I apologize to the rest of the audience because this is really about trying to educate one particular man.
Who Junior? Is,
no.
Oh.
It's a guy who was behind me on the way to work.
So, wait a second. Not that you have a huge drive, but you do have to maneuver through traffic.
I am making a right turn on red.
Okay.
And there were several cars in front of me, and it took quite a while. It was a long time. And then the cars in front of me finally cleared out. But as we're waiting in the line there for that right turn on red,
yeah.
I look behind me, and what do I see? A white Crown Vic.
Oh, nice. Safe vehicle.
Driven by a bald man who looks somewhere between the ages of 35 and 55.
Bald because he lost his hair, or does he shave it?
Shave.
Okay.
And I look at that. It's not an old Crown Vic. It's a newer Crown Vic.
Well, they don't make them anymore.
Bald guy driving it.
Yeah.
And I go, mm-hmm. That's a cop. And so when it comes my turn to make the right turn on red,
yeah.
Normally I do what they call a California stop.
Sure. I know exactly what you're talking about. But wheels are still rolling.
But because this guy's behind me,
right.
I'm like, I am so set up for a ticket right now if I do the California stop. So I come to what I like to call a legal stop.
Yeah, you got to feel the car come back. You got to feel it come back.
And as I do that, I got eyes on this guy to make sure he's not going to try and, you know, ticket me anyway. And what does he do?
What?
Bangs the top of the steering wheel, bangs the dash. Come on,
son
man!
Of a bitch!
Why don't you just go? And so I do, but I'm thinking to myself, how am I in the wrong there where you're driving around looking like a cop? That's got to happen to him all the time.
I'm sure it
People
does.
People slow down, get in his way. Yeah, because they think you're out to get him in an undercover vehicle.
I know exactly what you're thinking.
And if you're driving a bright white Crown Vic and you got a chrome dome and you're not a tiny person, people are going to think, I don't know for sure that's a cop, but I'm going to behave as though it is.
Or those Ford Explorers, too. A lot of people think those are cop cars.
I'll ignore that. When I see a Crown Vic, I think cop.
No, when I see those Ford Explorers, I think those SUV ones.
Well, we're old school.
Yeah.
That's what's driven into our memory.
Yeah. You know, like my wife is your age. She sees one of them Dodge Chargers.
Yeah.
Immediately
see,
thinks it's a cop. You and I see, think the Crown thing Vic. Is,
Stan's been pulled over by a Crown Vic,
many
so he
times.
Knows what I'm talking about.
Know exactly what you're talking about.
And it's burned into your brain.
Yes, it
and
is.
And you think, I'm not going to make that mistake again.
You know, they've had those SUVs and the Chargers in operation probably for like, 15 years or so. Haney and I have dealt with Crown Vics all our lives.
Yeah.
And you see a white Crown Vic with mm-hmm. a big bald-headed guy behind you, you're going to go and feel the car come back. Feel mm-hmm. it come back.
You don't do the California stop
no.
when you have that type of Crown Vic behind you.
Yep. You're in the right on that one. Yeah, you know what? Because he probably is not a cop, likes to play one.
Yeah, well, when he did that, I thought, okay, this guy's not a cop, but for some reason, he's driving around in a bright white Crown Vic yeah. with a chrome dome and doesn't understand why people are all of a sudden, everybody's obeying traffic laws.
I bet you he even has a fake badge some people have. One of them fake badges.
But when he pounded the dash and the steering wheel,
yeah.
I felt relieved because I thought, okay, that means he's probably not a cop.
Let me ask you, because I know you were looking in your rearview mirror when this happened. You do the complete legal signaled stop, feel the car come back.
Yeah, I didn't want to.
You looked in the rearview mirror. Mr. Cop Wannabe
mm-hmm.
with the Crown Vic bald head. Big guy, probably, 6'3", 250. Did he do a California stop and follow you right out?
Oh, once I saw he wasn't a cop, I hauled ass. He drove very slow.
Oh, really?
Okay.
Yeah, I left him in the dust.
Off. All right, good man.
Hauled ass.
Yeah.
I mean, he was probably a quarter mile behind me by the time I looked in the...
You drive a Crown Vic, especially a white one, but if you're driving a Crown Vic... You know darn well what you're driving, and you know darn well that other vehicles around you, for at least a moment, think you're a cop.
And a lot of people, they buy those Crown Vics thinking that would be an advantage. No, everybody slows down and does what they're supposed to do,
yep.
and you end up box standing.
Yep, and then slapping the dash.
Because as soon as people see you in their rear view, better tap those brakes.
Yep. I don't blame you, Haney. The guy's an idiot. Stan and Haney.
You want to drive like normal people, speed, and run red lights, don't get a Crown Vic.
96 K-Rock.
Stan and Haney. 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney. We got the grab bag coming up. I want to tell you about tomorrow. Tomorrow's Veterans Day. And we're devoting the show to Southwest Florida Salutes Our Veterans. Beasley Media, ABC7, and Home Base, which is an organization started by the Boston Red Sox to help Southwest Florida veterans and their families adjust.
We're going all out.
We're going all out tomorrow. We're going to have a general on. We're going to have Captain Lazaro on, who has spoken to returning veterans. We have a colonel coming on. And basically what Home Base, which was started by the Boston Red Sox in Massachusetts, they got a place down here now because this is their spring training home. Their goal is to raise $100,000 throughout the month of November to expand Home Base and the clinical care that and funds that they need for Southwest Florida. Very important day. We'll tell you how you can donate. As a matter of fact, I can tell you right now, you can go to 96krock.com and see the page about Southwest Florida Salutes Our Veterans. But a big day as we salute and honor the people that served and how you can help, because so many of them don't know where to turn when they come home. They have mental problems. They have physical problems. They have problems adjusting back to civilian life. And that's what tomorrow on this show is going to be all about. So we're going to be doing that.
Yep. And they have these problems because they went into harm's way for our benefit.
Exactly. So that'll be on tomorrow's show. All of our interview segments will have somebody on telling us about why we should donate to Home Base and salute our veterans.
Stan, I would like to praise Junior.
Oh, okay.
I would like to.
But you won't? Help me, enlighten me before we do the grab bag. What?
Well, we were all outside and going, you were talking to Mother, and Junior was out there, and we're going over pretty intricate plans for Veterans Day.
Right.
We're making an effort for Veterans Day like we haven't made on a show in a very long time.
That's right. It's going to be a big day tomorrow.
And a lot of logistics and...
Yes.
And Junior piped up and said, you know, don't forget, today is the Marine Corps' birthday. And I was stunned. And I said, really? That's coming out of your mouth? Good for you. And he says, well, you know what? I have friends who have served. I know what's going on. I go, well, then, Junior, you know that the Marine Corps is actually older than the country. And then I took it a step too far. Mm. I said, do you know why the Marine Corps was formed? And he tried. He said, to form a more perfect union, question mark. So I knew I'd lost him at that point. And I figured it was an opportunity to educate.
You know, we the people.
Uh-oh.
And
you didn't
go
lecture him, did you?
No,
it was pretty close.
I just said that the Marine Corps was formed because we needed to go and fight the Islamicists, the Mohammedans.
And you got your Tripoli and all
Barbary Pirates.
Yeah. Our merchant ships were being overtaken.
Yeah. And our sailors were being human trafficked.
Yep. And they were being captured.
And so we sent the Marine Corps over there to put a stop to it. And they did. They took care of those Islamicists, those Mohammedans. And that's why we have a country today.
Happy birthday, Marine Corps.
Let's do the grab bag.
You don't know what he said to me.
What did he say?
Don't. We don't need the text line blown up. No.
Because he huffed up at me, slammed the door going in, and then came out, and he said something, and you don't want me to repeat it.
No, because we don't need that. Happy birthday, Marine Corps.
You can imagine. I can. Grab bag brought to you by the Pewter Mug North, US 41, North Naples.
One step forward, two steps back for him. I was so proud of him for just that brief shining moment.
You should have left it at that.
I should have.
Yeah.
But he got all offended. But those are the facts.
Nothing you can do about it.
I can't change history, Junior. And Stan, you know it's true.
It is true. And if you read Brian Kilmeade's book and the discussion that Thomas Jefferson and John Adams had about dealing with North Africa and the pirates,
mm-hmm,
and how to deal with them. And John Adams, who was the second president of the United States, and they were dealing with it, said, you know, we can deal with these people. And Thomas Jefferson said, no, you can't.
That was so crucial economically for our young nation.
Pop-Tarts, our world-famous Pop-Tarts, have teamed up with a small batch butter maker for the first time ever. And you'll be able to purchase Pop-Tarts with Butter Kit. I guess it's putting butter on Pop-Tarts. It includes butter and flavors like chocolate, sea salt, and strawberry that you can pair up with your favorite Pop-Tart. Now, I know what you're saying.
A lot of work.
It's a lot of work. But have I heard this before? I mean, they're really doing it. But have I heard this before? You sure have. See if you remember this. Well, I'd like to have it ready to roll. Is there a reason? it's rolling. Hold on.
Ben, that's a $1,000 CD player.
Yeah, that's what they say. Let's see if I can get it to work this. Let me just see. Oh, that's not it. That's not it.
That's what she said.
Yeah, hold it. Oh, here we go.
Have you ever put butter on a
Pop Tart?
It's so freaking good.
Yeah.
Have you ever put butter on a
Pop Tart?
If you haven't, then I think you should.
Pop Tart!
With butter.
It was an episode of The Family Guy that said it. And Pop-Tarts and a butter company are really doing it now. I'm going to hear that again.
That's catchy.
Have you ever put butter on a
Pop-Tart?
It's so freaking good.
Yeah.
Have you ever put butter on a
Pop-Tart?
If you haven't, then I think you should.
Pop-Tart!
With butter.
This is great. A man driving a stolen street sweeper led police on a very slow speed chase in Indiana.
Yeah, what do those things top out at?
Happened over the weekend. One Sammy H. Allen is being charged with vehicle theft, resisting law enforcement and leaving the scene of an accident, along with reckless driving of a street sweeper. My God, it shocked the town in Indiana where he stole that street sweeper. Somebody reacted.
Someone stole a street sweeper! This man stole a street sweeper! Oh, hell no, y'all see this? Oh, he going to the park? Oh, no, man, no!
That's real.
Obviously distraught.
Yeah. Dateline, West Melbourne, Florida. The audio is impressive. The video is very impressive. And this just goes to show you how our police work and put themselves in danger despite the person involved in that danger choosing not to help.
There's been a lot of stuff that's gone down in West Melbourne in the past 6 months. Some very dangerous stuff.
Well, a vehicle crashed. I think it hit a tree. And the driver couldn't open his door. Smoke begins filling up the car. And police are opening the doors to clear the smoke out, busting the windows, trying to force open his door. And you can hear the police officers in this, all of whom had to be treated for smoke inhalation. But you can, and the video is even more evident of it. You can hear the police officer saying, "Sir, grab my hand, get out of the car." "I can't. I won't. I can't." He was just whining the whole time as these police in West Melbourne, Florida are trying to get him, save his life.
Yeah, putting their lives on the line.
Where is he? Where is he?
Drive. Unlock the door. You can reach it.
Come on, buddy.
Get your seatbelt.
Come on, give me your hand. Give me your hand.
Hey.
Give me your hand.
Don't push me.
Come on, come on.
We gotta get you out.
You gotta help me help you. Come on.
Climb out, bro.
Come on, you gotta come out.
Give me a second. Don't hurt me.
All right.
I'm hurting.
Give me a second. Don't hurt. They gotta get him the hell out. And he, husky guy, is fighting them every inch of the way.
Well, in his defense, he's been inhaling that crap for quite a while. He's probably not in his right mind. Oh, my God. What is that?
Oh, that's not even the half of it. When they open up that front door and he's in there?
That's like green smoke. Got to be like wires burning or something. That's not good at all.
Doctor, sleep specialist, Dr. Michael Bruce, spelled B-R-E-U-S.
Bruce.
Says you want to lower your risk of heart attack? You have to go to bed at a certain time. This, and I'm like, I was thinking, suppose you're working the late shift or something.
Oh, that's designed to kill you.
Yeah. But he said, you want to lower your risk of heart disease and a heart attack? You need to go to bed every night between 10 and 11 p.m. Here's the good doctor.
People have a tendency to more think of cognitive health when they think of sleep. But remember something, when you're asleep, it's kind of giving your heart a little bit of a break to rest and relax and be ready for the next day.
And so repair.
When you shorten that time, your heart, unfortunately, doesn't get the rest that it needs.
And he says the optimum time between 10 and 11 p.m.
But he makes a good point. People think about it more about, you know, how are they processing information as
right.
far as sleep.
Your other stuff has to rest, too.
And the entire body, if given time, is a self-healing mechanism. Somehow we survived as a species before we had doctors.
Yep.
And when we got doctors, they generally did more harm than good.
Yep, a good bleeding.
Yep. They started out
as... A good cupping.
Barbers.
Yep. We were talking about this last week. Haney brought it up. We were talking about it off the air, on the air. Pete Davidson. Dating everybody under the sun, the hottest models, and he gets
them. There is no woman Pete Davidson cannot have.
Yes. So.
And I never thought I'd say that. This has happened just like in the past 2 years. Pete Davidson has proven he can get any woman he wants.
So supermodel Emily Ratajkowski was Late Night with Seth Meyers. And so he asked her,
what's the deal?
One of the biggest supermodels in the world, because she finds him attractive. And Seth Meyers says to her, what is it with this guy?
Guys do not get it. Included. It's like, he's, you know, I don't have anything against him, but he looks kind
of
like...
Wasn't it a few years ago? He was in a lot of trouble, and he was, like, ready to kill himself.
But
he
looks like just a schlub.
Here's Emily Ratajkowski.
I mean, he's not, like, offensive, like, oh, my God, that guy looks deformed. But he's also not, like... Oh, that's the guy the ladies are going to go for.
Here she is explaining it.
He's got the height.
He is a tall
guy. Obviously, women find him very attractive.
Yeah, well, obviously. So, did you hear he's got a show on Tubi? Right?
That I did. I did.
Yeah, you're right. I don't know why I'm like, how's that guy a model?
Yeah. I feel like only other men feel that way.
Yeah.
Guys are like, wow, what's that guy got? And I'm like, I mean, he seems super charming. He's vulnerable. He's lovely.
Great.
His fingernail polish is awesome. Like, he looks good.
There you go.
It's great.
All right. Well, I'm sold. I'm going to have him back on.
Good relationship with his mother.
Yeah, great relationship with his mother.
We love it.
A sweetheart.
There you go.
I
don't get it.
No.
And like she said, men don't get it.
And I mean, don't get me wrong. I wish him well. I cheer for him like a sports team.
Yeah.
He lived in his mom's basement up until like not even a year ago.
Did he move out?
He finally moved out, but I mean, still. Red flag, ladies.
Not to them.
Apparently not.
You can get anybody. Anybody.
Have you seen the quality of tail he's pulled?
Oh, yeah, trust me, I know. And
the quality of trim?
Yeah.
Yeah, the quality, I know. Top tier.
I mean,
here I am just swiping right on everyone.
Yeah, I mean...
And I can't even get a...
I'll give you this, you probably got him beat in volume. But if you look at quality...
Yeah, head and shoulders above.
Yeah, quality and quantity, yep.
But he's not that far behind you in volume.
It's catching up, man.
With quality.
It's catching up, yeah.
Tom Hanks.
You know what? I think we fear him. We fear what we don't understand.
We don't understand him. Tom Hanks was asked.
You would think like nail polish, living in mom's basement.
It's not my thing.
It doesn't slow him down.
At all.
Have you seen Machine Gun Kelly? And
what?
That Megan Fox? This guy's wearing, like, pink and high heels and has, like, long fingernails, and he's dating Megan Fox.
Well,
that's a whole different
That's unfortunate, and we wish Megan Fox's family the best.
We do.
And we love her mother.
Yep. Tom Hanks was asked to name his three favorite movies that he's been in. And he has his favorites. He's been in a lot of great movies, but he's got his three favorites.
I would probably say number one would be League of Their Own, because all I did all summer was play baseball. It was a great summer, and my entire family still speaks about it. Then I would say Castaway, because it was just there was nothing but adventures every single day, every single night. And the last film I would say that was magical for me was a movie called Cloud Atlas. We shot it on a hope and a dream and nothing but a circle of love in Berlin and Mallorca.
Sci-fi.
And Dresden. And that would be my big three.
Thank you, Tom.
What does this say?
Evidently, rumor. It has to do with size. I don't think so. Pete Davidson gets all the chicks because they all tell each other and talk amongst themselves that he's got a big member.
That seems to be the key. Is once he bagged the first one, the second one comes a little easier, and they're like, oh.
Because of all the yapping?
Yeah. Oh, my God, he's engaged to Ariana? Oh, my God.
We heard.
Oh, they broke up?
Yeah.
Oh, I want to see what that's about.
That's why I'm not getting any.
How's that? Because you haven't had your first supermodel?
Yeah, talk gets around.
Stan and I, we checked that box early in life.
Yep. We'll be back. Grab Bag brought to you by the Pewter Mug North, US 41 North Naples. When we come back, Haney, update on that Cape Coral yard that's full of garbage. The mayor had enough. And we find out why it was in such a deplorable condition. And I'm going to say this right now, hats off to Fox News, Fox 4, they actually had a reporter that did some heavy-duty digging.
A human?
A human. Fox 4 did some great reporting on this. It's where I get my information from on this story, and we find out a lot about that Cape Coral house and the garbage that was all strewn in the front yard.
Well, you just knew when you saw the picture there's one hell of a story.
There is.
And then when the neighbors start talking about squatters on the back porch.
There is.
Yeah.
Stan and Haney, 96 K-Rock.
The radio miracle so powerful it can strip paint. It's so gentle it's been approved by the FDA for use in baby food. Stan and Haney on 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney. Thank you so much for joining us Wednesday afternoon. We'll have the local beat for you here in just a second, an update on that Cape Coral mess in front of the house. And also, in about 25 minutes, are you smarter than Haney? Carly is on vacation. Maria will be filling in for her today. She says it's a dream come true for her to be a part of Are You Smarter Than Haney?
Yep. Well, you know, a lot of people, they dream about that cup of coffee.
Yep. And she's getting her chance today.
She got a call up.
Very quickly, let me tell you more, and you'll hear more about this tomorrow, obviously, with Veterans Day. But I want to give everybody a heads up of what's going on our program tomorrow.
I just was talking with Mother, and he showed me the bio of somebody we're going to have on tomorrow.
Extremely impressive.
We got some heavy hitters.
Heavy hitters. Tomorrow, Southwest Florida salutes our veterans. We here at K-Rock and Beasley, ABC7, teaming up with Home Base in helping our veterans. Their goal is to raise $100,000 throughout the month of November. For veterans in our area, we're teaming up with Home Base.
of Southwest Florida all day to help them raise funds for life-saving clinical care and support that they provide to veterans, service members, and their families in Southwest Florida. And you're saying to yourself, well, what is Home Base? It was founded by the Boston Red Sox Foundation and Massachusetts General Hospital. Home Base serves veterans of all eras, service members, military families, families of the fallen, at no cost to them. Home Base programs include world-class behavioral health care, support, wellness education, research programs to heal those invisible wounds, including post-traumatic stress disorder, traumatic brain injury, depression, anxiety, substance disorders, and it is a really good thing. And in addition to bringing attention to the mental crisis and the veteran suicide epidemic, these guys come back and they don't know how to fit in at all times, and many of them. And we're going to be trying to raise some funds tomorrow. And they also want to give 100 Southwest Florida veterans access to Home Base's world-class clinical care as well. So we're going to help them raise some funds. As
100% behind that.
Yep, and as Haney said, and it's true, we got some heavy hitters coming on the show tomorrow to tell us about Home Base and all the other agencies that are involved with them so that veterans and their families can get the needed care to help them get back into society. And so we're very, very excited about doing that tomorrow on Veterans Day. So I'm telling you in advance, thank you for your support. If you go to 96krock.com, you'll see the banner, and there's a place you can click there to make a donation.
And tomorrow is just, it's going to be a very, very special show.
Yep. You want to tell everybody what Junior said outside? Never mind. Never mind.
Stan, only one word comes to mind. Mercy.
Yeah.
Because if I repeated that,
you have no idea what we do for you.
What?
When Haney was talking, because today is the birthday of the Marines.
And I even said, make sure to say happy birthday to the Marine Corps.
And then Haney just quizzed you a little bit on what
because I was
know.
Impressed.
Yeah, and, but then you'd then, even, yeah. He'd even bring it up.
Yeah, but then I just dug myself a hole, didn't I?
Did you mean what you said?
Oh, man.
Okay, tell us.
It's called a joke.
Okay.
Okay.
Was he joking?
It's a joke, man.
All right.
Yeah, I was just trying to get under your skin. Yeah, there you go. Laugh it up, yeah. It's all giggles. There you go.
Certainly something you want to joke about.
Sure. Yeah.
Let's. You know what?
He got me.
We saved you from a barrage of texts.
Stan, mercy.
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 Let's do the local beat because we got an update for you. And I said it before the break, hats off to Fox 4. They actually got a reporter to go and let's get to the bottom of this. What is going on? And it was the Fox 4 initial report on this story that got the mayor moving fast, because this garbage at that house in Cape Coral had been sitting there for months.
And it's kind of amazing that it happens in Cape Coral, because there is no municipality that is so code enforcement happy as Cape Coral.
From Fox 4, and hats off to you guys. Mess in front of Cape Coral home deemed public safety hazard and cleaned up. But they got a long way to go. And I will explain. a house that had been the a house that had the front yard filled with trash is finally clean. Cape Coral.
And if you're thinking that's an exaggeration, it's
no.
You got to see the pictures. It's not.
Cape Coral Mayor John Gunter said he saw the story Sunday morning and reached out to city staff to take care of it. He said, it was concerning to me. I wanted to make sure later on in that morning that I went over and looked at it for myself. When he got there, he saw the mess that had been sitting in the yard for months. Gunter says he immediately notified the city manager. How quickly when the mayor acts? Now the trash has been all thrown away, at least in the front yard. While Fox 4 News was at the house on Monday, a woman pulled up in a U-Haul and told them where they could find the homeowner, one Michael Mann. The woman said Mann was staying at the Westin Hotel in Cape Coral. She also gave the Fox 4 reporter the room number. So Fox 4 went to the hotel and went to that room number and knocked on the door. And sure enough, Mann was staying there. He said he couldn't speak, but he had an attorney that could speak for him. His attorney, Terry Kramer, said Mann had been in jail for months for a battery charge. During that time, Kramer said Mann's wife caused the problems at the house. Kramer goes on to say, she apparently invited these people over to the house, and they just came by one day with a U-Haul and moved all of their belongings and furniture and whatnot into the house. And then whatever they had that couldn't fit inside the house, they then put in the driveway, in the garage, in the front yard. Kramer added that they tried to get the mess cleaned in a timely manner, but he said the people living there that she invited and brought all their stuff weren't cooperative. Adding,
They like to party, but they go to work,
right,
too.
Adding, we had to get a court order to remove these people, these squatters at the house. And then once we were finally able to remove them, Kramer says, they kept coming back. They'd get them out. They kept coming back.
God.
Mayor Gunter said now that the saga is almost over, he wants to take a look at city policies to make sure this doesn't happen again. The mayor said we have to make sure that all of our policies that we have here in the city, that we can minimize the timeline and the effects to the community when you have something like this that is a possible public safety issue. Attorney Kramer told Fox 4 yesterday they were going to have a dumpster at the house. Why? Oh, the front yard's all cleaned up. But Kramer said they're going to have a dumpster come to the house because apparently inside it is still full of trash. He said once they get that cleaned up, the owner...
Michael Mann
said once they get that cleaned up, Michael Mann plans to move back into the house permanently, where he'll have a bunch of friendly neighbors.
You know, I'm sorry.
Hell.
He moves back in there. They're not going to forget. But he gets sent to jail.
I have a feeling.
And the wife goes and opens the doors.
I have a feeling that the neighbors would prefer Mr. Mann as a neighbor as opposed to the wife and the tribe
squatters.
Of people.
But yeah, the front's cleaned up. I guess the garage and inside the house still packed to the rafters with every kind of piece of junk imaginable. And the reason why it was out in the yard, in the driveway, they couldn't fit anymore in the house.
And you know, it's shocking. That's Cape Coral.
Yeah.
Had that been San Carlos Park, all that stuff would have been gone the next day.
Gone. It didn't matter whether, it's trespassing or not. San Carlos Park, I'll tell you, I've lived at a few places in San Carlos Park, and when I've put stuff to the curb, you had people in all four corners of roads waiting to make their move to grab the stuff.
It'd be gone within like half an hour.
Well, they watched him put stuff out.
They did. Here's one thing. I got a tip. If you see a microwave out at the end of your driveway, even if you see, and Haney knows this, even if you see a recliner and you take it, fine. I do not recommend anybody taking a mattress that is down at the end of your driveway. You drive around and you see a mattress waiting for pickup, let it be picked up. You don't know what's on that mattress.
Well, you know, it's true. A lot of people throw out perfectly good stuff.
Yeah.
Just because they're sick of it.
Yeah.
But most of the time, when something of value is brought to the curb, it's brought there for a reason.
A damn good reason.
That the owner of that item does not deem it worthy of resale.
Nope.
They bring it to the curb, I think, with the idea that probably best that no one possess this.
Correct. Are you smarter than Haney? We'll find out. Mario will be subbing for Carly. And if you prove that you can beat Haney in Are You Smarter Than Haney, you'll get a nice prize. We'll play next. We're Stan and Haney, 96K Rock.
With the 11th pick in the NFL draft, the Miami Dolphins select
Stan and Haney on 96K Rock.
Hey, everybody, Stan and Haney. About 30 minutes away, you're going to get your first look at traffic, news, headlines with Mark Haney, 4 o'clock fluffer, your emails. But it is Wednesday, and it is time once again to play another edition of Are You Smarter Than Haney? Now, normally we would have Carly in here, but she's on vacation, and somebody that's been chomping at the bit to be a lifeline in Are You Smarter Than Haney is our own K-Rock Mayor, Maria. Hi, Maria.
Hi. I'm so excited that you made my day by asking me if I could play today. I've been waiting, because I listen all the time, and I yell at the radio.
And I know so now, we can hear you.
And so now I can finally put my brain to work.
All right, here's how this is going to work.
First, I have a gift for her.
Okay.
How do you spell your name?
Really?
Yeah.
Marija.
You need to have your own theme song. And you know musicians that could do this for you easily.
Mm-hmm.
And how do you spell it again?
Marija.
She comes around. She's about 5 feet four.
5'2" and a half.
I'll probably head to the ground.
I'll take it though.
You know, she comes around here. I did the bad midnight. She make her feel so good, love. She make her feel all right. And her name is G.
M.
A.
R I J A.
Yeah!
Maria! Maria!
I love it. Thank you.
There's your gift.
That was great.
We got six questions. Six questions.
I'd do it, but I ain't got time.
We are going to take a random Stan and Haney listener, ask you if you would like Maria or Junior as your lifeline. You can consult between them, but we have to accept your answer. Haney will leave the room. We will signal him electronically to come back into the room.
I will be summoned in an electronic manner.
Correct. And if Haney gets less or ties you with the correct answers, you'll win. So a tie or more, the winner will get $50 to the pewter mug right down there in Naples. $50 to the pewter mug if you're smarter than Haney.
If you think you are smarter than me, I would like to see you. You can try it. Stan's got prizes. Yours for free. If you prove you're smarter than me, it's not easy. It's hard work.
Stan's nothing trick.
What a f***ing jerk. All those prizes, yours for free.
Matching wits with Mark Haney.
You're a contestant, Stan's the host.
Hi, everybody.
I'm the one who knows the f***ing most. If you dare to disagree, simply prove you're smarter than me. I'm a genius,
you're a slob.
That's my f***ing job. If you think you're smarter than me,
I politely disagree. 277-9600.
Maria.
Maria?
I love it. Release the phones.
Phone lines are released. Go head-to-head with Mark Haney. Six questions. Your job is to get more right than Haney, and you'll win a prize. That would be the pewter mug. I have to have a good phone connection, a willingness to play, so a random Stan and Haney listener does not necessarily mean the first one, but it might.
Do you ever get somebody who doesn't have a willingness to play?
Yes.
Oh.
On occasion.
Oh, all the time.
They think it's just a game or you know, a stupid game. Or they.
This is serious.
Or they cannot answer a single question. Ahoy, who's this?
No.
Yeah. Ahoy, who's this?
It's Fred.
No, not. Ahoy, who's this? Ahoy.
Boy.
No. Ahoy, who's... No. Okay, I got to let him recycle now. And I have to remember, what is it, Junior?
Pause, repeat.
Pause, repeat.
I think you threw... It's pause, respond.
Ahoy, who's this?
This is Teresa.
Teresa, I don't know if your phone's good enough here. Talk to me some more.
I'm sorry. Is it good enough now?
Yeah, you can play, Teresa.
Okay, thanks.
All right, Teresa. Would you like Junior or Maria as your lifeline?
Well, I'm feeling so bad for Junior. Let's win this, Junior.
All right, Teresa.
All right,
Haney, it's me and you.
I'm going to have to ask Haney and Maria to leave the room for just a few minutes. If you'd like to hang out there, when you see Haney come back in, the two of you will then have your opportunity to ask the questions.
Okay, very good.
So, Teresa will answer the question.
I'm very pleased.
Okay, good. We'll see the two of you later. We'll signal you when we're ready.
So you're instructing me to leave the room.
Yes, I want both of you to please leave the room.
Get out!
Easy, Teresa. I don't want to have to take a point from you. All right, let's let them get out of the room. There, they're now out of the room. Are you ready?
Oh yeah.
All right, here we go. Let's begin. Junior, my music, please. There we go. All right, the first one, Teresa, is a multiple choice question. Climbing Mount Everest is like climbing the Empire State Building how many times? 13, 23, or 53?
53.
You say
what do you think, Junior?
23.
All right, now, whatever he says 23, you said 53, you can consult with him, but I have to take your answer. What is your answer? 13 Let's times 23 or 53?
53.
Okay. Who was the voice behind Woody in Toy Story?
Tom Hanks.
Okay. The makers of what candy patented an anti-melting process in 1941? The makers of what candy patented an anti-melting process in 1941?
Oh, geez. Do you know this one, Junior?
I don't know. Hershey's? I don't know.
I was thinking Hershey's, too. Let's go with Hershey's.
Okay. What did Jack exchange with the butcher for a handful of beans? What did Jack exchange with the butcher for a handful of beans?
A cow.
Is that what you want to go? Do you want to consult Junior or anything? You want to stick with cow?
Do you know Junior?
I'm drawing a blank, so you fired off already.
I think it's a cow.
Okay. Multiple choice. Which of these would hold a just-born kangaroo perfectly? Which of these would hold a just-born kangaroo perfectly? A teaspoon, a teacup, or a teapot?
A teaspoon.
Okay. Last one, it's a true or false question. Horses entering Olympic equestrian events must be the same nationality as their riders. True or false? Horses entering Olympic equestrian events must be the same nationality as their riders. True or false?
I know that's false.
Okay. Stop the music there, Junior. I will summons Haney and Maria back in, and I'm looking at this, and I'm going to tell you right now, you got half of them right. You got three right, you got three wrong. So if Haney gets up to three right, you still win because it's a tie. If he gets four right with the help of Maria, you're going to lose. So not bad. You got three out of the six. So that's not bad. I've seen worse. I've rarely seen Haney defeated with that kind of number. But and here's what I'm going to say to you. When he comes back in, because he's on his way in now, when he comes back in, just sit quietly and let him answer the questions with Maria, and then we'll come back and we'll see how everybody did.
Okay.
All right. Here they come. Here comes Haney. Here comes Maria. Teresa has answered the questions, Haney. You're going to get the same questions. Maria is your lifeline. Let's begin. Haney, multiple choice. Climbing Mount Everest is like climbing the Empire State Building how many times? 13, 23, or 53 times? Climbing Mount Everest.
I go with the middle.
Not a strong opinion, though.
No, I know that it's big and a lot of people die up there, so it's probably pretty high. But how high? I don't know.
Okay, what are the choices again?
13. Climbing Mount Everest is like climbing the Empire State Building how many times? 13 times, 23 times, or 53 times?
How many floors are there in the Empire State Building?
I'm putting the Empire State Building up against Mount Everest, okay. And I'm trying to count the blocks.
13, 23, or 53?
53.
Okay. Who was the voice behind Woody in Toy Story? Who was the voice behind Woody in Toy Story?
Tom Hanks.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
See, you knew.
I did know.
Haney, the makers of what candy, patented an anti-melting process in 1941. Ooh. Anti-melting process.
You know what comes to my head? Pez.
M&M's.
Is that your final answer?
Final answer.
Okay.
All right. I hope you're right. I want you to win.
Melts in your mouth, not in your hand.
Oh. Haney, what did Jack exchange for the... what did Jack exchange with the butcher for a handful of beans? What did Jack exchange with the butcher for a handful of beans?
Cow.
Is that your answer?
I don't know. I'm like really disappointed because I always know. And I'm like, come on!
So far, you haven't contributed very much.
I don't know any of these today.
That's what happens when you don't have any pressure on you.
Yeah, that's true. You know them all. And then when you do, it's like your brain goes empty.
What are you going to say?
What, are we still on? I thought I answered the question.
Oh, you're going with that. I mean, okay. All right.
Well, now I'm not sure. I don't feel so confident.
Haney, which of these would hold a just-born kangaroo perfectly? A teaspoon, a teacup, or a teapot? A just-born baby kangaroo.
Repeat it one more time.
Teaspoon, teacup, teapot.
Teaspoon.
Okay. Last one. True or false? Horses entering Olympic equestrian events must be the same nationality as their riders. True or false?
I'm going false on that one.
Yeah, I would think false.
So you say false? All right, let's stop it. Teresa, you still there?
Yeah.
All right, let's find out how you guys did. Get down to the brass tacks.
How helpful was Junior?
And I'm going to say this, Teresa. He was more helpful than you allowed him to be. If you know what I mean here, and I'm going to prove it to you.
Team Teresa.
The first question I asked about climbing Mount Everest. It's like climbing the Empire State Building how many times? Both of you said 53 times. Junior told Teresa she should answer 23 times. She didn't. It's 23 times.
Maria said it.
I did say that.
You both got it wrong.
Maria did suggest it, too.
Who is the voice behind Woody in Toy Story? You both got it right. Tom Hanks. The makers of what candy patented an anti-melting process in 1941? Junior and Teresa were getting nowhere with this and settled on a Hershey bar. Haney got it correctly by saying M&M's. That was their whole slogan. Melts in your mouth, not in your hands. Haney gets that right. Arts and literature... Jack exchanged what with the butcher for a handful of beans? It was a cow. Matter of fact, it was his mother's cow. You both got it right. What size would you need a teaspoon, teacup, or teapot to perfectly hold a just-born kangaroo? You both got it right. It was a teaspoon. They're very small. And then here's the last one. True or false question, horses entering Olympic equestrian events must be the same nationality as their riders? Both of you said false. Both of you got it wrong. Oh. They have to be the same nationality. And Teresa, you did a good job, but Haney got 4 out of the 6 correct. You got 3 out of the 6 correct. Now, Teresa, I would really like to see you get the pewter mug, but you have to tell my friend Haney something because he proved something to you, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
Say it, girl.
Say it, Haney. You're smarter than me.
It's okay. You'll be all right.
Teresa, I'm going to put you on hold. Junior's going to set you up with $50 to the pewter mug, okay?
Okay. Thank you so much, you guys.
All right. Hold on, sweetheart. Hold on. There she goes. And you.
Oh, are you kicking me out, too?
No, I'm not kicking you out. This was your big...
I should have listened to her, though.
On one of them, you obviously won. You would have done much better had you listened to her mm-hmm. on the 23.
You
flip-flopped a little bit, though, on it.
No, not the Everest one. Okay. I knew that one. I am really thrown by the horse one, though.
Yeah, got to be the same nationality.
Because sometimes I feel like the and maybe I'm thinking the jockeys are different ethnicity than the owners of the horses.
We're not talking about horse racing. We're talking about equestrian events in the Olympics.
But I mean,
it's kind of all the same.
I mean, there's a handful of countries that breed great horses.
Yeah, and they're the ones that are entered now.
That's why I figured they would make it about the rider.
Now, you can have an Arabian come to the United States and breed with another Arabian horse. That horse that's born
is now
American. Mm. But it could be purebred Arabian, but it's American.
So you're saying an Italian horse cannot be ridden by an American rider
Correct.
In the Olympics?
Correct.
Interesting.
Thank you for participating.
I learned something new. Thank you for inviting me on today.
See, there are certain times you want an Irish horse. Isn't that right, Stan?
That is true. Yep. You can go back to watching your Rittenhouse.
Okay, yes. This trial is getting really good.
Here's a free tip for you. You're looking at a turf race.
Oh, you always go with the foreign horse first-time starter. Yep. Always.
And you see that in parentheses, I-R-E, and it's not chalk?
Yeah, here's a tip for you, because a lot of them go under the radar. Here's a horse racing tip for you. And Haney and I both know it, and we've both made money. Look at a racing form, because over in Europe, horses only run on grass, on turf. If they've just shipped over to the United States for a race, and they're a first-time starter on grass here, always bet that foreign horse. Always. Mm. You're going to wind up a winner more times than not.
Like I said, unless it's chalk.
Unless it's chalk, then you got to find some place to make some money. That's where you go into your exotics. We'll be back. Stan and Haney, 96K
Rock. But you always include the foreign horse.
Oh, always.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
We couldn't be more proud to work for the Beasley Media Group, and we'd like to thank them for the indoor plumbing and the microphones. Stan and Haney, 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney. We're going to check traffic here in just a second. News headlines with Mark Haney. 4 o'clock fluffer, your emails. I do want to once again say thank you to our buddy Eric at Cowboys Concrete and Masonry. Tomorrow is Veterans Day, and he always recognizes on any military holiday and Christmas the Stan and Haney Draft Fund. And so I got a page in the building that Eric was up front, because we're still in COVID protocols here, and the doors are always locked. And so I came up, and Eric was there. And once again, he had a check for the Stan and Haney Draft Fund. I'm not going to speak out of turn, because I don't think that anybody needs to know how much. Eric, he's our cannon guy. He's the one that blasted the cannon when Stan and Haney Boulevard.
Long time friend of ours.
And supporter of the Draft Fund. But I will tell you that the check that he brought us today was in the four digits. So
God bless him.
You are a phenomenal human, Eric, and thank you for everything you do to support our fund.
And the wonderful thing with our fund is we are fortunate enough to have Captain Lazaro in charge of that, and he knows how to make those four figures become more.
You betcha. And let me explain, with tomorrow and our Southwest Florida salute to our veterans, where we're teaming up with Home Base, and I want to stress this very importantly with our listeners. Our Stan and Haney Draft Fund is for active military and their families. So they're not veterans yet. They're still active. Tomorrow, we're going to be saluting our veterans, those that have completed their service. Yeah. Captain Lazaro is
coming. Two different things. But Captain Lazaro is involved with both.
Captain Lazaro is a veteran, served in Afghanistan, and not only does he head up our draft fund for active service people, but he speaks around the country to returning veterans and how to get the help that they need. So when Captain Lazaro comes in tomorrow as one of our guests, he is speaking from knowledge. He deals with returning veterans. He speaks with them. And what we also have in the lineup tomorrow for our Southwest Florida salute to our veterans, we've got big heavy hitters coming on. We have people that are very high-ranking veterans and who do great things with returning veterans and have used some of the offerings that Home Base offers returning veterans.
Mm-hmm. And obviously, we want to salute veterans from all eras.
But absolutely.
I was doing some reading last night and looking at facts and numbers, but specifically, over the past 20 years, what has been demanded of an all-volunteer force?
Correct.
Is unbelievable.
Yep. And you deserve to be honored when you return and to get all the help you possibly can to get yourself back to work, get your head right, get your body right. And that's what Home Base is all about. And we're going to be saluting you veterans for your tremendous service to this country. And we thank you.
They answered the call and an awful lot has been asked.
Yes, and that's another thing about Home Base, and you bring this up. Home Base and serving veterans of any era.
Mm-hmm.
We still have a lot of Vietnam veterans, Korean veterans, as well as Middle East veterans. They all need, in some way, shape, or form, some assistance. And that's what Home Base will be doing, and we're proud
and of course,
to be a part of that tomorrow.
Vietnam, are we allowed to call it a war now? Because they wouldn't let us call it.
It's still officially a conflict, as was Korea. But Korea, ask the people that served. It was a war.
Korea was a police action, and Vietnam was a conflict.
Yeah. It was a war.
But Vietnam, that was the last time that a war was fought utilizing the draft.
Yep.
And you and I were too young for that. But we've talked to many people over the years, people who volunteered and people who would have to wait and see if their number came up.
That's right. When they had the draft lottery. Man, you didn't have much of a choice. You were going. We salute all of you, and we'll do you right tomorrow. traffic brought to you by Firehouse Subs, who incidentally fed Junior today.
Oh, they did?
Yes. Quite well.
Quite well. Delicious.
So I take it he ate what they sent for us?
Here's what the deal is.
Now, yeah, explain it. Yeah.
I'm going to explain this. They brought subs for everybody. Okay? We go now. The person that is in charge of the subs.
Right.
The salesperson, Don Holloman. He calls me in to where he was sitting, an office that nobody was in.
Do they know he's in the building?
Not often. I don't think he's supposed to be. But he tells me, oh, Firehouse Subs came by to bring you something to eat. I go, oh, that's great. Why didn't you tell me? Well, I'm telling you now. I said, it would have been nice to tell me yesterday. He says, well, you better hurry up and get in there because it's all just about all gone.
It was a crowd of people in there.
And so everybody... everybody fed.
So, but I want to understand, the intention from Firehouse was to bring you and I some subs.
Yeah. Yes.
That was the intention.
That was because they're a fine sponsor of ours.
And the execution was a free-for-all for anybody that can get in the building.
Yes, that smelled the fresh baked bread and the fixins.
It was all sales.
Well, that explains it.
So the intention was...
Yes, to feed us.
That you and I...
Yes.
...get some delicious Firehouse subs.
Yes.
The execution was everybody else but us...
Yes.
...got to enjoy the delicious Firehouse subs.
Correct.
Yeah, okay. It was good too, man.
Squared away on that one.
Let's check out Collier County, North Naples. Got a crash, 2400 block of Trade Center Way. In the estates, we got a couple showing up. A crash, DeSoto Boulevard North and Randall Boulevard. The other one, the 9000 block of Immokalee Road. And you are up to date. Coming up in less... than 1 hour, a lot less than 1 hour. It'll be the newscast of record with Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney. He is the news. What can you expect? Well, Haney's got your headlines right now. This was coming up in less than an hour. We'll jump right to emails after this.
Coming up in a lot less than an hour,
a whole on the lot news, less.
We will have some things for you you did not know.
Okay.
I don't know what kind of time we'll be dealing with. Time permitting, some Thanksgiving nonsense.
Oh.
Some good news, legitimately good news, about a certain substitute teacher.
Oh, good.
A man stole a street sweeper and led police on a low-speed chase before driving it into a river. And finally, a prisoner knocked his cellmate's teeth out because he refused to stop farting and didn't believe in the courtesy flush. These stories and much, much more unfortunate nonsense... coming your way in a lot less than an hour.
Less. You'd be surprised how a lot less.
On the news.
Emails. Ahoy at stanandhaney.com.
What?
Ahoy at stanandhaney.com.
Okay.
Our friend Scott... Hey, guys.
Who just seems to know too much.
He knows way too much. Hey, guys. I've been in time change recovery for about 3 days now.
No kidding.
And I've refrained from emailing due to that and the fact that if I have nothing nice to say, I shouldn't say anything at all. But I had an epiphany. If we cared about time change, as much as we cared about energy independence or the ability to have necessary supplies in a timely manner, or even basic personal freedoms for that matter, then the administration would have made damn sure not to have the clocks change last weekend. Yup. Now, in regards to Junior's cream corn jalapeno recipe, I'm not going to lie. I'm intrigued by it. I will say that every time that topic is brought up, or at least now between now and Thanksgiving, it deserves a fart medley.
I told Junior, and I don't think he believes me, when he gave out that recipe, I said, you'd be astonished if you were to find out how many people are actually going to make that
now. Oh, sure.
And they're going to be blown away, man.
Whatever. Not by what how you make it.
Tell me, man.
Blown away?
Dude, they are going to be blown. It's like that.
But hey, Junior, in all honesty, it doesn't sound that bad. You know, I bet Tony from Cape Crepe and Chowder is reverse engineering the recipe as we speak. Love you guys, Junior too. P.S. It's somewhat amazing how most mosh pits that happen at a Slayer show seem so peaceful in comparison to whatever the hell happens at widely attended music festivals these days. God help us. Signed, Scott.
The more that comes out about that, the worse it is.
You just told me a shocking detail outside.
Yeah. You know what Drake and Travis Scott did immediately after all those people died?
What?
They went and partied at Dave and Buster's.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Guardian.
Jesus.
Ahoy, gentlemen. Guys, I heard some disturbing news this morning. It seems the fat cow who has been nominated to be FCC chairman said one of her goals was to take Fox News off the air.
Are you kidding?
And it's not a joke. She is serious. I am so sick of the left doing their damnedest to forever change this country.
Does the FCC even have any authority over cable?
I don't think so. Guys, that's straight out of the Nazi playbook to control the press. So that people only hear the information that they want to hear. Anyone with half a brain can see what they're trying to do. I think she goes through the nomination process next week. It should be great TV. Yeah. You guys are the best. Sign the Guardian.
He's done it again!
Nomination process, or if you prefer, running the gauntlet.
Yep. We're going to take a break. We're going to be back. We're Stan and Haney. What? Yes,
just
Haney.
Briefly.
Yes, sir.
Just how different people process information.
Yes.
Because we were shooting the breeze outside, and somebody suggested to us half-jokingly, you know what? We ought to cancel that Travis Scott. We don't think that way.
No, that doesn't cross my mind.
You have to let people make up their own mind.
Let them do their own thing and let people be the judge.
It's called the marketplace of ideas.
Thank you, Haney. We're standing, Haney.
The only place in Southwest Florida where drunken idiots and law enforcement actually get along. Stan and Haney on 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney. Wednesday afternoon. We'll get you updated on traffic. And then I'm going to tell you how you can win a VIP experience. You can win them with a couple of tickets to go see John Fogerty and Foreigner at Hertz Arena on the 21st. I'll give you the details here in just a second. But first, let's get ourselves updated with traffic brought to you by Firehouse Subs. 3 Lee County locations, Fort Myers and Cape Coral. All right, checking Collier County again. They're active. Golden Gate. Crash, Immokalee Road and Executive Drive. Also in Golden Gate. Well, that's another Immokalee Road. I think it's the same one. in the Estates, a crash, 2200 block of Rock Road. And you are up to date. We'll have another traffic update for you in about 30 minutes. How would you like to win that VIP experience? What does it entail? Two tickets to see John Fogerty and Foreigner at Hertz Arena on the 21st. It's the Charity for Pros and Heroes show. You get a Q&A and a meet and greet with Foreigner, a VIP party with a performance from Casey Bishop, our own local girl from American Idol, complimentary apps, cash bar. You get the VIP treatment the night of the show. If you'd like to have a chance at winning that, you got to register to win. Go to 96krock.com for a chance at that VIP experience with John Fogerty and Foreigner, Hertz Arena on the 21st. Ahoy.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
This is Sergeant Sean Blunden.
Ah, Sergeant Blunden. How have you been, sir?
I've actually been pretty good, sir.
Good to hear it. Good to hear it, Sergeant.
I was on beach patrol.
Beach patrol.
Earlier today.
Had the day off from the country club and went down to the beach to have a few cold ones and sun yourself or what?
No, I was there in official capacity.
Oh.
Wearing my beach patrol appropriate uniform.
What is a beach patrol appropriate uniform? So I know it's something you bought, but what is a beach patrol uniform?
Well, it's similar to a uniform pant, only it's a short, still has the stripe down the side.
Gotcha. Kind of like what the mail carriers wear in the summertime.
Very similar. Uh-huh. And dark socks and my regular dress, the uniform shoes.
Right, the patent leather ones.
Black.
Yeah, it's real shiny. Yeah. What were you doing down the beach, Blunden?
Doing what I always do, sir. Keeping order, enforcing laws.
Uh-huh.
And it was around... Geez, I guess it must have been just around 2 o'clock. I got an anal cleavage call.
Understood. I'm surprised somebody like you would say 2 o'clock and not, I don't know, what is that, 1400 hours?
Well, when I'm talking to civilians, I try not to one up them.
You are a civilian. You're not a sergeant in anything. You ate a couple of anal cleavage calls. Who put you in charge of that? Nobody.
I think that little hoochie mama showing a little too much melon would disagree with you.
And can I just ask this? What do you, if you see somebody violating the anal cleavage law, and there is one, what do you, as a sergeant of nothing, you're a security guard, what do you do?
Well...
You can't enforce anything.
When I show up on the scene in uniform, I get to ride a little buggy.
You're riding a little buggy?
Yes.
What kind of little buggy? Is this one of your own vehicle?
No, it belongs to the resort, and it says security on it.
So you work not on patrol. You're a security guard right now at a beach resort. Normally, I would think of some kind of country club, home gated development.
Well,
now you're a beach
the resort.
The resort
contracted with our agency for security services. We're on a probationary period. Sure. I can't really get into it.
Sure. So you were on the beach today, huh?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that little hoochie mama, she'll cover up from now on. I guarantee you that. She doesn't want to deal with the likes of me.
Seriously, what did you threaten her?
I did what had to be done.
Was she good looking? Somebody could pull off the cleavage?
Yes, sir. Believe you me.
And, but
a lot of temptation in this job.
Sure. But I guess you had to step up and abide by the law.
Well, I had to enforce the law, sir. That's what I do.
Mm-hmm. Would you write her a ticket or just a stern warning and a slap on the ass?
Well, what I explained to her is that if she wanted to continue to display those ripe melons, which I did inform her, I personally didn't have a problem with, that she needed to move about 15 feet down the beach where she's out of my jurisdiction.
Right, away from your resort.
And she said, sir, I will gladly move as far away from you as I possibly can.
Sure. Sure. You mean, so you're a sergeant of a beach resort?
Well, I'm a sergeant for a law enforcement agency.
You're not of a law enforcement agency. Never mind. Why did you call? What do you want?
Well, because
you're really starting to get on my nerves.
That buggy's real nice. It's got an FM radio in it, so I had you guys on.
You know what? I may argue with you on what your standing is in law enforcement, but they let you smoke while you're on the job?
Oh, I'm off now.
But I do appreciate you listening to the show. I appreciate that, Sergeant. So you were listening today.
I was, and I really wanted to call in, but, I had other things. Right. So I just explained what I had to do.
Right.
But I heard, warning. And I didn't get to hear the whole thing because I was riveted because you fellas brought up something near and dear to me, probably my favorite topic in the world. The Ford Crown Victoria.
Oh, yeah. Haney had a little, I wouldn't call it an altercation. The Crown Vic kind of looks like a police car, especially if it's white. To refresh everybody's memory, Sergeant. Junior, if you don't mind, earlier today on the show, this was said. Roll them.
And then the cars in front of me finally cleared out. But as we're waiting in the line there for that right turn on red, I look behind me and what do I see? A white Crown Vic.
Oh, nice. Safe vehicle.
Bald guy driving it.
Yeah.
And I go, that's a cop. And so when it comes my turn to make the right turn on red, normally I do what they call a California stop.
Sure. I know exactly what you're talking about. But wheels are still rolling.
But because this guy's behind me, I'm like, I am so set up for a ticket right now if I do the California stop. So I come to what I like to call a legal stop.
Yeah, you got to feel the car come back. You got to feel it come back.
And as I do that, I got eyes on this guy to make sure he's not going to try and, ticket me anyway. And what does he do?
What?
Bangs the top of the steering wheel, bangs the dash. Come on, man!
Bitch! What? Is that what you were hearing? Blunden?
So, if I understand this correctly, Mr. Haney noticed the Crown Victoria behind him and assumed that it may be undercover UC.
Well, an unmarked police vehicle, the Crown Vic, all white. I guess there were bald-headed guy, big guy, probably about 250.
Yeah, and I can see where a civilian might interpret things that way.
You're a civilian.
But what you must understand is if that was, in fact, an undercover officer, undercover vehicle, there are some subtle differences between your police interceptor and your civilian Crown Vic.
Okay, and I suppose I suppose you know, because something tells me at some point in your life, Blunden, you went to one of those auto auctions and got a decommissioned Crown Vic that had cop everything on it, and you still have it to this day. So you can spot the difference.
I've done that multiple times. Mm-hmm. Real dependable vehicle.
So you're going to tell us how to spot an unmarked Crown Vic cop car versus the civilian Crown Vic?
Well, I don't know that I want to go that far, but let's start with this.
All right.
Your police interceptor is motivated by a single overhead cam 4.6 liter V8.
That's big.
Now, that engine produces 250 horsepower at 5,000 RPM and 297 foot-pounds of torque at 4,000.
Uh-huh.
Now, for comparison, your standard Crown Vic puts out 239 horsepower and 281 foot-pounds of torque.
All right, that's still a powerful vehicle.
Well, it's and the difference is the interceptor's boost is due chiefly to a specific police car induction system,
okay,
which helps the engine breathe more efficiently.
Great. What, am I supposed to have X-ray vision and look under the hood? If somebody is driving a Crown Vic that Haney experienced today and thought it was an undercover cop, the guy got all upset because Haney came to a complete stop, turn signal and everything, and you're telling me I need X-ray vision glasses to be able to tell the difference between an interceptor and, okay, and a civilian, okay, vehicle, you, okay, son of a bitch.
Fair enough.
Roger that.
Roger that.
10-4.
10-4.
Yep.
Now, granted, your police interceptor doesn't differ dramatically from your standard Crown Victoria.
It does not. Into civilian eyes, you'd think that that's what it is.
Well, it features several key enhancements.
Like, the engine, such as?
As I mentioned, has an external oil cooler to keep temperatures down, features a 200-watt high-capacity generator to provide power to supplemental lighting and other gear, and the police interceptor's front bucket seats,
yeah,
upholstered in cloth and fitted with anti-stab plates to protect front seat occupants from scumbags. Now, obviously, the rear bench, because who cares, was upholstered in vinyl for easy cleanup and repair.
Yeah, you get the trustees to clean that up.
Yeah, you just take a hose to it.
Yep, 10-4. So how am I... Or how is anybody, a civilian sergeant of nothing, how are we supposed to spot this? We don't know. So I would assume Haney assumed correctly that it could have been an interceptor, Crown Vic.
Well, it may have been. You see, along with the Mercury Grand Marquis and Lincoln Town Car.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, a couple of beauties right there.
Your interceptor, Crown Vic, they're built on what they call the Panther platform.
How am I to recognize a Panther platform?
Well, it's body-on-frame construction, which is typically associated with trucks rather than cars.
Ah. And to the naked eye, you'd be able to spot this?
Well, the police interceptor was offered in two versions, okay? Standard and what they call street appearance. Now, your standard model features a black grille, black extended trim, police interceptor badges, and 17-inch steel wheels with plastic wheel covers. Now, your street appearance car looks remarkably like a standard Crown Vic. And there's a reason for that, sir.
Why?
It's intended for undercover operations and other applications in which your Leo wants to keep a low profile. Now, it features a chrome grill, chrome exterior trim, mm-hmm, and to trick you, standard Crown Victoria badges and chrome wheel covers.
Can I?
Now, both the standard and the street appearance version come with either a 3.27 or 3.55 rear axle, if that clears it up for you.
No, it doesn't. Let me ask you a question. Put down the cigarette.
I'm off duty, brother.
Yeah, you're also on the radio, okay? So you may be off duty, but if you're representing the resort as a law enforcement officer, at least, geez, how do you, Blunden, have so much information about what a real Crown Vic
you know, public car for, you know, civilians versus an interceptor. How do you have so much information on this? You have delved way too deeply to just be a curious observer. What do you got? What are you dealing with? Was that wasn't you behind Haney today, was it?
No, sir. As I told you, I had an alibi. I was on duty.
You had an alibi. Now you're sounding like a con.
That can be verified through dispatch.
Dispatch with whom?
You know that police interceptor?
Yeah.
212 inches long.
I want to know how you know this.
Well, I guess I'm a bit of an aficionado.
You are, huh?
I won't drive any other vehicle.
So you do drive a Crown Vic?
Absolutely, sir.
And yours is cop Crown Vic.
Let me correct you. I drive a police interceptor.
Aha! And was I right? You bought it at an auction, didn't you?
Yes, sir.
For about $900. They have to just make sure the decals or any kind of markings indicating that it's a police vehicle are taken off, and then you can go. What did it have, like 300,000 miles on it?
I don't know who they had do that, but they didn't try very hard.
Uh-huh. Do you have one of those big spotlights on the side?
Oh, yes, sir.
Is that legal? Is a civilian allowed to have that, such as yourself?
Yeah,
what? How many times are you at night shining that into people's faces just trying to fool them? No wonder people get all jumpy when a Crown Vic is around.
The biggest problem I had once I gained possession of the police interceptor...
You bought it at an auction!
...was to maintain the integrity of the stars on the doors, but leaving where it says police, but at the top part, it was a real bear to try to get Dania Beach off while keeping police and the star intact.
Sure.
That was a whole weekend, brother.
I bet you. And how do you...
I had an X-Acto knife.
You are really a disturbed man. Let me ask you this. If it was you behind Haney, and I'm not saying it was, would you have slapped the dash and yelled at Haney for doing a proper stop at intersection? Oh,
only an effing idiot waste time to stop when you got a right turn on red. Come on.
We'll be back. Stan and Haney.
The Stan and Haney Show.
We both lie silent and still in the dead of the night.
Yeah, that's it.
Although we both lie close together, we be miles apart inside. Was it something I said or something I did? Did my words not come out right? Though I tried not to hurt you, though I tried, I guess that's why they say every rose has its thorn. Just like every night has its dawn. Every cowboy sings a sad, sad song. Every rose has its thorn.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
You got the next set of words?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Listen to our favorite song playing on the radio. Hear the DJ say love's a game of easy come and easy go. But I wonder, does he know? Has he ever felt like this? And I know you'd be right here, right now, if I could somehow. I guess I know the same. Every rose has its thorn.
Come on, come on, come on.
Just like every night has its dawn.
Put your hands in the air, people.
Every cowboy sings a sad, sad song. Every rose has
as it storms. Though it's been a while now, I can still feel so much pain. Like a knife that cuts you, the wound it heals, but the scar remains.
I would play it much better than that.
I know you would. That goes without question. Oh, yeah.
Love that night.
What?
I don't know. If I'd known what to say, instead of making love, we both made our separate ways. Now I hear you found somebody new. That I never meant that much to you. To hear the tears me up inside, and to see you cuts me like a knife and stand. Every rose has its thorn.
Come on.
Just like every night has its dawn.
That dawn, mother. Come on.
Every cowboy sings a sad, sad song. Every rose has its thorn.
Thank you, Haney. A little nice little harmony there. I enjoyed that.
This is a symbol that you'll be seeing a lot from now on. It stands for the something wonderful that happens. The richer and more satisfying life your family can enjoy through the well-planned use of
Stan and Haney.
And one of the best things is this. Your family, every family can afford it.
96 K-Rock.
God, I miss that.
Yeah. Stan and Haney.
You know, they got like a million shows now for singing competitions.
Yeah.
Maybe if we're willing to dress up like panda bears, we could do that.
Yeah. What is that? The unknown singer? What is that? The mystery? The mysteries? That, well, what is that?
The masked singer.
Masked singer.
But yeah. There is the unknown singer, too. And then there's another one where you're holograms, I think.
Right on. Let's.
That last call was disturbing.
What last call?
Sergeant Blunden.
Who, Blunden?
He's a creep. What's he on, Baywatch now?
Yeah. Well, he's got his shorts on. His mailman carrier shorts. That's what it is. Buys all the stuff himself and goes to a damn cop auction and gets himself a Crown Vic with 300,000 miles on it for $899.
Sweet.
Yeah. Makes him feel like somebody.
But you know what? I stand by my original statement. When you're in traffic and you've got a Crown Vic behind you, and that
it's
Crown
true.
Vic is not driven by an obviously elderly person, you think it's a cop.
I agree.
Junior knows about it.
Yeah, back in high school, we had a friend who had an all-black Crown Vic that was purchased at a police auction by his father as, you know, his 16th birthday car or whatever.
And it's a lot
of tinted windows, so it looked like a detective car. And every time we got into a lane, you know, you see people hit their brake lights, go down to 45. You know, they were doing like 65.
You couldn't get anywhere.
No, and like we kept like yelling, like "Damn it!" Like we're like late
because it's hardwired into your brain when you're driving, and you see that.
And if you buy a car like that, it's almost like you need to get decals put on it that says "Not a cop."
Yeah, should be required. I'm sorry you had that run-in with the Crown Vic today, Haney.
Well, I just felt for him, because I know it's got to happen to him all the time,
yeah.
And that's why he had that reaction.
Yeah, because he felt you short-stopped him.
Yeah,
because he was getting ready to roll through.
Damn it happened again.
But no, Haney's going to do the full and complete stop with signal.
Mm-hmm.
And he got mad at you, because he was a civilian.
Yep.
I got yelled at by a cop in traffic the other day.
Really?
Yeah.
Did it scare you?
Yeah, it terrified me.
Did you have your window down or did he make you roll it down?
No, I didn't even realize he was behind me. I didn't even realize he had his lights on because it was the middle of the day. And so I was listening to
hold
music.
Hold it. You don't realize.
He was trying to get past me, and I was in a left turn lane.
You don't see the cop lights. You know,
I didn't see
I can
the
see
lights.
That as the explanation in the news after your mugshot's up. I didn't see the lights.
No, and I was trying to turn left, and I didn't realize that, you know, there was a cop behind me, and he was yelling out of the window. He said, "Move the car!" And I was listening to music.
With his lights on.
With his lights on.
And so then I see the door to his car open up in my rear view mirror, and then he comes up to the trunk of my car. Move!
I can't believe you didn't. I can't believe it.
And I had no idea. Like, there was like some sort of emergency that he was trying to get to, and I was just blocking his way, and I just probably just ruined his day.
Junior, what's happening right now is Stan is transforming into Sergeant Vince Carter.
This is, I mean,
pile!
I want to say that. I don't know how thick you can be.
Well, it was the middle of the day.
Yeah,
man.
You don't bright. See those strobing lights.
The sun was straight up in the air. You know, it was blocking out those lights.
Listening to music.
Yeah. What am I supposed to do, right?
I have my headphones in. Whatever.
And he slammed the trunk of his car. Dude,
I would have done the same thing.
Yeah, Stan would have done the same thing. He's not a cop.
But. Yep. I would have done the same thing. Traffic.
Somebody stops in front of him.
Hey! Brought to you by Firehouse Subs. 3 Lee County locations, Fort Myers and Cape Coral.
God, you had to have felt like something less than a man
like
when that
dirt.
Happened.
No, I felt like dirt, yeah.
Fort Myers, hit and run. South Tamiami Trail and Constitution Boulevard. Fort Myers crash, Alico Road and South Tamiami Trail. Fort Myers Beach, hit and run. What's with the hit? Well, we're coming back into season. Hit and run, 7200 block of Estero Boulevard. And you are up to date. We'll have one more traffic update for you in about 30 minutes. Mark Haney and the News, brought to you by Jason and Todd at the Diamond District, starts right now.
There was a time before cable.
Jeez.
When the local anchorman reigned supreme.
And then you got the deal going.
And
people
believe anything that he heard.
And nothing.
That's the middle of the day, man.
Yeah, what do you expect?
Travis Scott, dude. I'm sorry.
Middle of the day, man.
One anchor man was more than the rest. Southwest Florida's most respected anchor man. He was like a god walking amongst mere mortals. He had a voice that could make a wolverine purr. And suits so fine they made Sinatra look like a hobo. In other words, Mark Haney was the balls.
Hi, I'm Garrick Utley, and you're listening to Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney.
Good afternoon. This is the news for today, Wednesday, November 10th.
Double M, double X, I.
Telling it like it is, I'm Mark Haney. Time now for things you didn't know. You may not know it, but you ought to. Today is officially the United States Marine Corps' birthday.
Thank you, Marine Corps and all who served.
Now, the day was established 100 years ago on November 10th, 1921, by the U.S. government to show appreciation for the Marines. The Marines themselves have been around since November 10th, 1775. If you do the math, that means the Marine Corps has been in existence longer than the country itself.
Correct.
and they were formed for a very good reason, but yeah. I don't have time to go into
No, and you don't have time for Junior's response, which should have...
You know, Stan, no offense to you. I know your background, and you can't help your ancestry.
But understood.
There's just something yeah. about it. I will never trust the French.
Well, they've known to... They run away.
And I get the feeling that they would turn on us for the right price.
Oh, sure.
I don't know why I felt the need to say that. But
you got it out of your system, and I'm glad you did.
I did. The French are different from us. The best-selling song in French history is a Christmas song called Petit Papa Noël.
That's like something about Father Christmas, Little Father Christmas.
Yeah, and I don't have any beef with that. The most popular non-Christmas song
yeah.
and the second best-selling song of all time in France.
What?
Is this.
Junior.
He can do it in his sleep. Second best-selling song of all time in France.
Do 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 do.
It's always fun when that happens to be playing when a fight breaks out.
Yeah. You know that. They played out all the hockey games.
Mm-hmm. We all know the name Apple today.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure that they have a lot of corporate literature where they talk about how beautiful it is that Steve Jobs picked that name. And they'll say things like, Steve Jobs chose Apple because... He just loved apples.
Oh, yeah. Nice Fuji.
But it was much more petty than that.
Oh, it was.
Steve Jobs used to work at Atari, and when he chose the name, he wanted to make sure that his company was listed above them in the phone book.
Oh, that used to be a big business ploy. That used to be a big, you know...
Quadruple A moving and storage?
Yeah, A-A-A-A-A-A Haney Guitar Lessons Incorporated.
A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A Better Massage 2.
Yep. Just to get a first in the phone book. That's how it was back then.
You know, that's one thing I won't miss.
Yes. You want to take a break?
Well, maybe one quick one.
Okay.
In the 1800s, there was an Eskimo custom that when a stranger would enter a village, one of the locals would step up to him and they would slap each other as hard as they could. They'd have a slap contest.
Yeah.
Until one gave up.
I have no problem with it. What do you keep shaking your head about? Like, no, 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 no. What's that?
Eskimo is problematic. It's Inuit.
Shut up.
It's Inuit.
You shut up.
It's Inuit.
Shut your mouth in a moment.
I am Bill O'Reilly with today's good news. Here's Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, my colleague, Mark Haney.
Bill.
Do you know that my high school is, since the 1940s, when it became, because it's a small town, they finally built the high school in the late 40s, we were the Canton Warriors.
Mm-hmm.
And we took great pride in that. And it was, the logo was an Indian chief, and we were the warriors. Over the years, my town in Connecticut kept the Canton Warriors. Got a notification from the local newspaper up there this morning that the school board has elected by a 5-4 margin to do away with the mascot and any Native American symbols. They could not yet decide whether they were going to keep the warrior name. They'll keep the warrior name if they can come up with some other representation of a warrior. If not, they've got to change our school's name by 2023.
Well, sounds like somebody's getting voted off the school board.
By a one-vote margin, and that was just to do away because our school logo now just has the C. And remember how on the Washington Redskins it have the two feathers just hanging in the back of the of the C encircled? That has to be removed and come up with another representation of a warrior that is not Native American. And you can keep warriors. If not, it's got to be done by 2023 because they couldn't come to a conclusion with that. It was so divided. And so now the school is in limbo.
Well, little did we know how many dominoes would fall after they did away with the logo of Whitesville, New York.
Yep.
It was a logo of a man beating an Indian.
It was the truth. We had the mayor on from Whitesville. It's in New York, and their symbol, and it wasn't supposed to look that way. But it was
a man
beating an Indian to the ground.
And senseless.
Yes. It's true.
Well, let's move on to more pleasant things.
Shall we?
An elementary school in Wisconsin recently threw a surprise party for a former substitute teacher who just turned 90. Her name is Arla Ertl.
Oh.
But this isn't just any substitute teacher. Everyone to this day calls her Grandma Arla. Now, she just turned 90, and she retired a few years back, but made such an impact on the school over the course of decades, many decades. 450 kids with balloons and signs lined the sidewalks to surprise her, and the school band played her a song. Arla started working at the school when she was 19. 71 years ago.
Jeez. By the way, it's Whitesboro.
Oh, that's right.
And they
right.
had to change the logo. You thought we were joking. That's a real town.
That is literally a man beating up a red-skinned Indian.
Yeah, yes. Choking him out.
That is the most problematic thing I've ever seen in my life.
Both the Native Americans and the Europeans that live in that town embrace it. And it was a long, hard fight to change it to
We covered that extensively.
Extensively.
Just to wrap up on Grandma Arla.
Yeah.
Who taught at that school for 71 years. Many of the current teachers are former students of hers.
I believe it.
Any joker can steal a car.
Yeah.
Unless it's a stick.
Yep.
But 54-year-old Indiana man Sammy Allen is a cut above that.
Always has been.
Because he probably thought that. Anybody can steal a car. I'm going to steal a street sweeper. He did so on Sunday and led police on a low-speed chase. He swiped the street sweeper from a highway construction site around 1:30 in the morning and drove it through several people's yards. Now, the police tried to implement procedures that have worked well for them with high-speed chases, but didn't work so well in a low-speed chase.
Can't do no pit maneuver.
They tried to stop him with spike strips, but he was going so slow, he just drove around them.
Yeah.
They say he hit a top speed somewhere between 10 and 15 miles an hour.
Whoa. Woo.
At one point, he crashed into somebody's garage and almost flipped it. Part of the garage collapsed, but he was able to quickly regain control and kept moving. The chase finally ended when he drove the street sweeper into a river. Then he tried to take off on foot. And, well, then the pain started. Because he was taken down by a police officer. But the police officer just so happened to be several canines.
Ow.
Police got him to a hospital to deal with the numerous dog bites. He's facing charges for vehicle theft, resisting arrest, leaving the scene of an accident, and reckless driving. You don't want to hear him going, "Go, King."
Yep. Yep. Go, Bodo.
Yep.
Hello, I'm Bill Curtis of Investigative Reports. For our final story,
boy.
Here is Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney.
Bill, you know, you just imagine being incarcerated would be terrible on so many levels. But perhaps you've never considered this particular issue before. And now that it's been brought up, it's got to be somewhat common. A 33-year-old inmate here in Florida named Christopher Callen is facing new charges. It's always fun. You're in jail and somehow manage to acquire new charges. But he did, after he viciously beat his cellmate last week, literally knocked his teeth out of his head. Christopher feels he had a damn good reason for doing so.
And what was that reason?
The guy wouldn't stop farting in their cell.
Totally agree.
He broke two of his teeth and one of his ribs.
For what? What was he doing?
When a prison guard asked, "Why did you do it?" he said the guy would not stop farting and not doing courtesy flushes when using the toilet. The farting inmate is recovering in a hospital. It's not clear what kind of charges Chris is facing now that they know there was a reason for it.
Not one fart sound effect through the whole thing. Thank you. A little bit. Day late, dollar short. Move the car!
Move it! Move the car!
Move, you son of a bitch!
And that's the news for today, Wednesday, November 10th.
Double M, double X, I.
I am Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman.
There he is, little Marky Haney, telling it like it is.
Jason and Todd from the Diamond District bringing us news. We'll take a break. We'll be back. We're Stan and Haney.
The only thing we have to fear is fear itself. Ask not
what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
We should be in a position where you, the experts say, we know is in fact, it's going to be.
Stan and Haney, 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney, Al Beck at 6 o'clock to take you through your Wednesday evening. Tomorrow, big show for us, Veterans Day, and our salute to Southwest Florida Veterans home base. We're all teaming up, ABC7.
Well, and we have some highly distinguished guests tomorrow.
Yep. Let's get a final look at traffic for your drive home this evening. Brought to you by Firehouse Subs, 3 Lee County locations, Fort Myers and Cape Coral. Just one thing on the board of note. It is in Bonita Springs. It is a crash. Old 41 Road and East Terry Street. And you are up to date. Roll credits. Classic Comedy is brought to you by Best Home Services. Appointments available now.
GetBest.com.
I was standing outside getting ready to come in here, man, and this little guy walked up to me and said, Buckwheat! And there was some brothers standing next to me and said, what that guy call you, man? Buckwheat. And I started thinking about it, the Buckwheat and all, the Little Rascals, period. Like, who thought the names up for that show? Because I'm from a predominantly black family, and I have yet to run into a relative named Buckwheat. You go to a cookout, say, how you doing? My name's Ed. What's yours? Oh, I'm Buckwheat, man. That's me. Yeah, Buckwheat. That's my name. No, Buckwheat. That's... No, I ain't got no last name. Buckwheat. That's it. You don't believe me? Ain't that right, Stymie? It's my cousin Stymie over here. Don't even want you to meet my brother. Yo, Farina! Come over here. Yeah. Fuck who's saying Farina. Farina, really? You know, most people name after their father. We was named after our father's favorite breakfast. That's my little sister over there. Her name is Shredded Wheat. And then my twin brothers right there, Quisp and Quake, right there. That's my big sister. She a prostitute. Her name is Trix.
Have yourselves a great evening. Lord willing, we're back here tomorrow at 2 o'clock. We'll do it all over again. We're the Stan and Haney Show, 96 K-Rock. And we leave you this afternoon with this. Ahoy.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
This is Sergeant Sean Blunden.
Ah, Sergeant Blunden. How have you been, sir?
I've actually been pretty good, sir.
Good to hear it. Good to hear it, Sergeant.
I was riveted because you fellas brought up something near and dear to me, probably my favorite topic in the world.
Uh-huh.
The Ford Crown Victoria.
Oh, yeah. Haney had a little, well, I wouldn't call it an altercation. The Crown Vic kind of looks like a police car, especially if it's white. To refresh everybody's memory, Sergeant, Junior, if you don't mind, earlier today on the show, this was said. Roll them.
And then the cars in front of me finally cleared out. But as we're waiting in the line there for that right turn on red,
yeah.
I look behind me and what do I see? A white Crown Vic.
Oh, nice. Safe vehicle.
Bald guy driving it.
Yeah.
And I go, mm-hmm. That's a cop. And so when it comes my turn to make the right turn on red,
yeah.
Normally I do what they call a California stop.
Sure. I know exactly what you're talking about. But wheels are still rolling.
But because this guy's behind me,
right.
I'm like, I am so set up for a ticket right now if I do the California stop. So I come to what I like to call a legal stop.
Yeah, you got to feel the car come back. You got to feel it come back.
And as I do that, I got eyes on this guy to make sure he's not going to try and, you know, ticket me anyway. And what does he do?
What?
Bangs the top of the steering wheel, bangs the dash. Come on, man!
Bitch! What? Is that what you were hearing? Blunden?
So, if I understand this correctly, Mr. Haney noticed the Crown Victoria behind him and assumed that it may be undercover UC.
Well, an unmarked police vehicle, you know, the Crown Vic, all white. I guess they were a bald-headed guy, big guy, probably about 250.
Yeah, and I can see where a civilian might interpret things that way.
You're a civilian.
But what you must understand is if that was, in fact, an undercover officer, undercover vehicle,
yeah,
there are some subtle differences between your police interceptor and your civilian Crown Vic.
Okay, and I you suppose see, you know. I suppose you know because something tells me at some point in your life, Blunden, you went to one of those auto auctions and got a decommissioned Crown Vic that had cop everything on it, and you still have it to this day. So you can spot the difference.
I've done that multiple times.
Mm-hmm.
Real dependable vehicle.
So you're going to tell us, or how is anybody a civilian sergeant of nothing? How are we supposed to spot this? We don't know. So I would assume Haney assumed correctly that it could have been an interceptor, Crown Vic.
Well, it may have been. You see, along with the Mercury Grand Marquis and Lincoln Town Car.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, a couple of beauties right there.
Your Interceptor, Crown Vic, they're built on what they call the Panther platform.
Let me ask you a question. Put down the cigarette.
I'm off duty, brother.
Yeah, you're also on the radio, okay? So you may be off duty, but if you're representing the resort as a law enforcement officer, at least... How do you, Blunden, have so much information about what a real Crown Vic, you know, public car for, you know, civilians versus an interceptor? How do you have so much information on this? You have delved way too deeply to just be a curious observer. You, what do you got? What are you dealing with? Was that wasn't you behind Haney today, was it?
No, sir. As I told you, I had an alibi. I was on duty.
You had an alibi. You are really a disturbed man. Let me ask you this. If it was you behind Haney, and I'm not saying it was, Would you have slapped the dash and yelled at Haney for doing a proper stop at
intersection? Only an idiot wastes time stop when you got a right turn on red. Come on.
Blue skies. Yeah. Every day is a gift.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.